Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. We're joined today with Scott Shepherd, Brad Wright, and little Sammy Levin is actually here.
I'm here. Man, we got some cool stuff to show you.
We do. We have a very interesting show lined up for today. We have, of course, going on that just ended yesterday, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference here in beautiful San Francisco at Moscone West. We were at the keynote on Monday.
Yep.
Shot that. That's up on iTunes right now, so I'm sure everybody by now that's grabbing this as a podcast has got the Inside Mac, recap coverage of the Steve Jobs, Steve note.
The Steve-ness.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
it was very cool.
Pretty cool stuff. Hey, the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, now available universal binary, so you can fix that Intel-based machine or your standard high-quality Power Mac product. Check it out, micromat.com. DVD XDV, if you have some cool software that you want to remove from a DVD that you created, either an iDVD or DVD Studio Pro or even some Heathen Box, you can take, well, Macs are that. you can take that content off and use it again whenever you want. Pretty cool. They just got a brand new website, and a new version of DVD XDV is out now. So check that out at dvdxdv.com. MCE Technologies, he's placed to get a brand new Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, MacBook, an iPod, memory, SuperDrive upgrade, you name it. Arnie rocks. Check these cats out over at mcetech.com and the official supplier of storage for the Inside Mac radio program, FirmTech. These guys make eSATA, external SATA, drive enclosures with actual, you know what's very interesting? I noticed about this at the keynote that Apple actually just like ripped on this deal. If you have a FirmTech enclosure,
yeah, I got a FirmTech
enclosure. It's got a backplane.
Yep.
The drives plug into.
Yep.
What's in a brand new Mac Pro? Oh my!
It's a backplane.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that means that
they must have seen the FirmTech gig. And said, that's a good idea.
Yeah. No, I really liked that in the new MacBooks. Maybe we shot a little video of that. Maybe we'll get that out at some point. But the new new Mac Pros have that great slide-in drive tray. So
yep.
You don't need any screws or anything to change your drives. I mean, any screwdrivers to change your drives.
The only thing about that though is there's not a consistent amount of drives, so it's really funky to raid three drives. You could, but
right, yeah,
you got to have one to run the OS. So
you know
what? It's good though for a Time Machine and internal backup.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Pop a couple extra drives and have the thing automatically just back stuff up.
Yeah.
So you have one main drive and one drive for your data and your photos and your just junk.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your external SATA stuff for real work.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have enough. You know, it's not going to be enough to do, I don't think, HD in the box.
No, not uncompressed streams. But you can do some great stuff with.
Because who wants to work
HD
with compressed streams? If you're not working at 10-bit 444 HD uncompressed, forget it, dude. Go home.
All right.
That's why you need the FirmTech. But you know what we didn't even talk about last time with the firm gig is, you know, they make the trays are $23. So you buy one enclosure, if it's a 2 or 4 drive.
Oh, it's
you can have 10 drives on the shelf and just grab a tray for $20, slide a new drive in.
Yeah.
Photos or your client jobs. It's pretty cool stuff.
Well, I really like them because they're bulletproof. I mean, they're built so well and they work every single time. A lot of drive enclosures are just really flaky and they aren't built well. They're made out of cheap plastic and you can't rely on them. So that's
why
good
we're jacked over these cats. So check them out. FirmTech. That's FirmTech.com. And of course, our media partners, a popular photography and imaging magazine, American Photo. Both those guys over at popphoto.com. Creative Pro, of course, at creativepro.com. Mac Update at macupdate.com. The Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges at digitalproductionbuzz.com. And the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, printingforless.com. So we have a very interesting lineup of guests live in studio today.
We've got the German contingency.
We do. We have
do.
A lot of cool stuff. We have Oliver Breidenbach from Boink Software talking about, they just won an Apple Design Award at WWDC.
Their software rocks.
Dude, Photo Magico rocks, dude.
How about iVZine? I love that product.
That, the
Mouse Po...
Whatever.
Mouse Posé.
Yeah.
Mouse Posé. Wait a second, that sounds French.
Yeah, and then and we have the, we have a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Another
German
company,
too. We got like 20 people here today. So it's crazy, but stay tuned. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, we're going to have all the news fit to consume in the land of production, post-production, distribution, you name it. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk consistency utility for Mac OS X. Also, Universal Binary now, so you can run it on that brand new Mac Pro. Check it out, www.micromat.com. Right now, we have Philip Hodges, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. Hello, Philip. How are we doing today?
Hi, Scott. I'm great.
Good. And we have Graham with us too today.
Hi there, Phil.
Hey, Graham. How you doing?
Pretty good.
So we have a full crew today here in studio, and we, of course, Philip is the host of the Digital Production Buzz, a weekly show all about production, post-production, distribution. And what is happening today, buddy?
Well, it hasn't been a big news week, which is just as well, because I want to talk a little bit about what happened at Seagraph last week. One of the few things that were released this week was some preset collections for the very excellent Trapcode plugins. I don't know if you're familiar with those plugins, but Particular and Shine, I'm sure you've seen that backlight shine effect that has been used probably to death on every movie trailer in the last 5 years.
Yep.
Echo Space, Stargo, they do some really, really beautiful plugin filters, mostly for Adobe After Effects. Well, now LME Collections have added or released 407 presets and comps for these Trapcode plugins. So if you don't want to create things from scratch, you can use these instant creativity plugins or sets of effects.
Cool. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, they're a little steep at $99 each, but frankly, even if your hourly rate's only $50 an hour, and if you're doing motion graphic design, you really should be higher than that, then, you know, you can save thousands of hours, hundreds of hours for a small investment. It's not too bad at all, I don't think. And I'm sure you've mentioned that there was a little release during the week from Apple, a Mac Pro or something like that.
What's your take on the Mac Pro? You know, my take is personally, okay, and I don't know about Graham, okay, but I'm thinking that there's all this hype with this new math processor and these Intel chips. I still think that a quad's going to smoke it when it comes to real hardcore, you know, hard work, real stuff that's, encoding and stuff like that. What do you think? Philip, Graham.
It all depends what you're doing. It depends on how native the software is. And unless you can use compressor, there are no other native encoding tools for the platform yet, and that's a bit sad. But if you can use native applications, then I think you'll be better off with a Mac Pro. If you're using the Final Cut Suite under Universal, that would be great. But if you're using a lot of Adobe applications and or you need to use Sorenson Squeeze for encoding, I would think you're better off with the Quad G5 for the moment.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because they're a little bit hard to get. You know.
Yeah, I mean, well, the idea was that they should run out about the time they have something new to sell.
Right.
But I was going to mention these because both Blackmagic Design and AJA have announced that their cards will be supported on these new Mac Pros with drivers that will be released within a week for the Blackmagic DeckLink cards and within about 3 weeks for the Kona cards because the IO is already supported under the Intel binaries.
I was just a bit disappointed that the new NVIDIA cards that were announced at SIGGRAPH don't have any Mac drivers for the new Mac Pro. I thought that would have been a really cool thing if they could have announced that.
It would have been, but I think Apple write the drivers for the cards for their line, and they don't necessarily have the same schedule as everybody else.
Yeah, it's just that in the keynote and everything, they're going on about how the GPU is everything, and every event that you're in, it says, you know, the GPU is everything, and we're using cards which are just not as powerful as what's on the PC.
Yeah, another thing, too, is the only way to run dual 30-inch cinema displays is you have to buy the, $1,600 option FX4500 card.
The 4500 card.
And that's not even their top card now.
No, and it's an absolute beast. At least they've got the double-sized slot now, so it doesn't eat into your other slots. So that was a good move, yeah.
But still, it's weak.
Yeah.
One of the hypotheses that I heard during the week was since the graphics cards on the PC side are fairly generic, even within families, that once we have a driver on the Mac for one of the cards in the family, we probably will get support for the other cards out of that driver. There seems to be universal drivers on the PC side. I'm just wondering if we can go the same way on the Mac side.
Which might be a bit easier now with the Intel move.
Exactly. Where it certainly wasn't possible before, where the drivers were very custom to Apple, and very specific to each card.
Well, one thing we got to point out, though, is that with the new architecture, you have also four-way universal binaries. With these graphics cards, you still have to support the older G5 platforms, because those are going to be around for a while. So they have to write drivers for those systems, as well as in addition to the Intels. As well as to make sure that they're all 64, 32 compatible.
They don't want to do.
Well, so effectively, you got to write a driver for 32-bit Intel and a 32-bit G4. You've got to write a driver for a 64-bit Intel and a 64 GPU. So you got to write four drivers, basically, or test four configurations.
I don't know. I was trying to buy an X850 ATI for a client and this week, and of course, although Apple sold it through the store as a BTO option for a while, you can't buy that for a Mac independently because Apple hasn't released the drivers for it in any other way, shape, or form.
Right.
So it just depends what they want to do. The Digital Production Buzz have been putting out some videos from SIGGRAPH. My good friend Lauren Miller shot stuff over there for us, and I really want to talk about just a couple of those that we've got, and you can subscribe if you search for Digital Production Buzz in iTunes. One of the answers that you get will be the video feed, and some of this will come out inside Mac Radio when I get it to Scott. But RealViz, Movie Mento, they're doing just image capture, four angles. You need at least two, but they were using four, and it was deriving 3D shapes from the four video images. No tracking of it in any other way to standard video cameras to track it, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yep.
Nice.
And we've got
project.
A nice three-part series of interviews with Martin Newell. He's an Adobe fellow and probably is best known because he created the ubiquitous teapot model that has been used and tested by every piece of graphics software, rendering software.
We saw a few of those at WWDC.
Was that the teapot or the bunny?
That was the teapot and the bunny, that's right.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you've got to render the teapot to get the good housekeeping seal of approval. But he was talking a lot about how we go from, and he talked about the history of that in part one, and then in part two, talking how the move was to get, you know, as photo real as we can, but now it's really wanting to get the graphics software to recognize the real, so that then he talks about where we're going in the future with that in part three, talking about, you know, recognizing shapes the way he says, you know, if they can get to a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old level of being able to recognize shapes, so you can say to your graphics software, change the color of that hat, and it would know what a hat was and know where the hat was in the picture and could change the color because it would understand color as well. So that was pretty cool. He's a very talented man, and it's a very good series.
Excellent. Cool stuff there. What else is happening on the Digital Production Buzz or anything else that we want to touch on real quick in the land of production, post-production, distribution, you name it?
Also check out the Second Life interview, because Second Life is a great collaborative environment for filmmakers, and I'll leave that for you to look in the interview itself, in the video feed. On last week's show, last Thursday night show, we did this great interview with the guys behind Star Wreck. Star Wreck in the Perkin inning is the most viewed Finnish movie ever, and it was made over 7 years in a 9-foot by 10-foot space in the basement of one of the guys' houses. And it's quite a piece of work, and we talked with the creator and the founder of that, and you can catch that out in the digitalproductionbuzz.com feed.
Oh, cool. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. There you go, Philip Hodges. Check it out, www.digitalproductionbuzz.com. Next up, Andy Shallot and his Mac Out of the Box graphic tip of the week. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've created a piece of software and you burned it on a DVD and now you need to pull this great movie off that you've made, you want to bring it out, pull it back into iDVD, Final Cut Pro, Express, iMovie, an Avid Nitro system, whatever you want, pull it off. Check it out, www.dvdxdv.com. Right now, I'm here with Andy Shallett with his Mac Out of the Box Graphic Tip of the Week. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Got to see your podcast on the keynote.
Yes, our little WDC keynote fiasco there. Yeah, it was okay. You know, we had a few issues. Here's another tip for everybody. When you go shoot a gig, don't go there with brand new gear you've never used before.
It'll come out just like we shot it.
Always pre-test.
Well, the problem is, we use the big camera, and it's got a black and white viewfinder, and with a black and white viewfinder, it's very hard to set color balance, white balance with a black and white viewfinder.
Yeah,
and it was weird. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, at least I learned something about what's coming up on Leopard.
There you go.
But before I get into that, I just wanted to mention that Font Agent Pro for designers right now, it's important to know that if they are switching over to the Intel machines, Font Agent Pro is now universal. So we have the two big font management applications are both universal, so that's good. That's good news for all of us. But I wanted to take a step back and look at one of those aspects of Leopard that they talked about that everyone seems to be excited about, called Spaces. If you recall, a few weeks back, we spoke about how we can set out layout sets within applications, like in Fireworks or in InDesign. You can make different sets of your tools and everything. And Spaces essentially is doing the same thing. It allows you to set applications together and make the layout for your desktop and have essentially virtual desktops. The thing is that people may not know is that you can do that now. You can do that today. You can do that with something called uControl Desktops, which is a $30 little utility, and it's a nice way of getting used to this idea anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they've had this. Who else had this on in mind?
Well, Linux has had it for a long time. I've seen it on Linux.
Yeah, inside Mac. I'm talking about for the Mac. UControl, which is a set of utilities that allows you to do a lot of these fidgety little things on your Finder and doing, you know, all the sort of contextual menu things. Well, this one, UControl Desktops, I've been using for a while because when I'm writing books, for instance, and I need to do screen grabs, I have to have a white background on it. But I don't like white backgrounds when I'm working. So what I'll often do is I will switch over to the white background desktop that I have, take my screen grab, and then go back to my working desktop. But it also allows you to do sets of applications. So, for instance, if I'm just doing web on one desktop, I have all my web stuff out already, and I can just, with key commands, I can flip to the next desktop. It doesn't do the same quadrated thing that Spaces seems to be doing. It does that cube flip that you do when you're switching users. But for $30, it might be worthwhile for people to check it out. I've been a long-time user of it, and I do like it. Because,
yeah, you know,
by the way, it's not Intel. It is not universal yet. I'm waiting for them to do the universal.
Yeah, you're one of those switcher guys, huh? One of them Intel dudes now.
Well, I'm half and half. You know, I have the MacBook, but that's mainly for writing books and stuff. And really, when I'm doing my production work, I've got the old dual processor G5. So I'm keep my feet in both ponds, as it were.
Oh, how fun. How are the things going? We got about 50 seconds here. Andy, how do we find out more information about the book? What's going on? What's up with Andrew Shallett? How do they get a hold of you, brother?
Well, if you go to shallett.com, you can check out who I am, what I do. If you want to hire me for website design or for brochures, catalogs, that sort of stuff, that's up there, and you can take a look. I've got the title of my next book, which is going to be out this fall on McGraw-Hill, is up there. It's too long for me to even remember what it is. Something 24 Mac project, cool project, some blah, 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 blah.
That's right. You got a brand new book. That's right. You did the McGraw-Hill deal. So
that's right.
That's
and
cool.
We got a few other books in the works and working on another book about architecture, which is completely outside of the realm of the Macintosh. But keep them busy.
You're crazy, man. But that's cool, though. See, that's why you're Andy Shallett. Hey, Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you go, Andy Shallett. Mac Design Out of the Box author, cool graphic tip of the week. Check it out, shallett.com.
Dr. Mac Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want a place to get a brand new MacBook? Do you want to get a MacBook Pro, even a new Mac Pro? Do you want an old G5? They might even have some of those laying around, if you're lucky enough to get one still and you want to run Photoshop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or a super drive upgrade, RAM, memory. You know what? Arnie's just stocked with all the goodies, man. Check these cats out at MCE Tech. That's MCETech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
Fantastic. Actually, as we're recording, I'm recording the same thing using the new voice recorder, the Micro Memo from Extreme Mac.
Really?
Yeah, and it is pretty darn cool. This is the first of its kind that I've seen on the market. It's the new 44 kilohertz. That's pretty much CD quality, right, Scott?
44.1, 16K, Redbook, brother.
It works with the video iPod 30 and 60, only the video iPod. It's out now from Extreme Mac. That's extrememac.com, $69.95. It's only available black today, but I guess they're shipping in white pretty soon. And it's recording right now. And it comes with a gooseneck mic. It's also detachable so that it is line in as well. So you can plug additional mics if you have a professional level mic, if you have one of those Sony, which I have a Sony condenser mic that plugs in so it has a longer reach. It is very cool. You record it. It records as a WAV file. It's a high-quality WAV file. Once you sync it to your Mac or PC, it loads it into iTunes automatically, and then you can take it and you can export it to MP3 or whatever file format, or you can play with it in QuickTime Pro or whatever format you want to use it in. But I really like it because A, it snaps on, B, it's versatile, and C, it's simple to use. There's a speaker built into it that is you can press on or off, so you don't need to have the speaker on. Because it'll drain the battery. That's the only thing. It's the battery is my concern.
Will the speaker in it play songs too? If you want to just it'll play anything or just the voice recording?
I haven't done the songs yet, but Griffin's did that, play the music, but it was pretty small and it was great, but it was very small. This records at a high quality. 44 kilohertz is CD audio, and you have two settings, low and high. Probably the low quality is 22 or something like that. Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I'm really impressed by this. So check it out at extrememac.com.
Well, what's the old recorder? Was it like 8 kilohertz or something?
Eight was the iMic.
Well, it's still better than a phone. It's as good as AM radio.
I'm telling you, I am impressed. I can't wait to start using it to do the Cool Mac Pick segments on the go, and then I can plug it in, send it to you.
If you're going to try to use this in a professional application, aren't you going to look sort of hoopy holding an iPod up to someone? Hey, give me an interview, dude.
But might look a bit funny. Do you know how long you can record on? What maximum record time is?
It explains to you on the not the box, but the literature of how many hours you can record on a 30 or a 60. I have no idea about high and low. It eats up space, definitely. But for what we do, I don't record hours. I record minutes. So that's plenty. And I got to tell you, once I use the Sony condenser mic, it doesn't matter what I look like.
If you just lay it on the table to sort of record like a room, if there's three or four of us here talking.
Actually, I recorded the keynote, just part of it. Yeah? At WWDC, it picks up a lot of sound. But it's really meant for personal recordings, up front and close.
And this thing is what, $60?
$69.95, and I think it's great. Everyone.
It's a cool trigger for an audio head anyway,
It looks a real cool bit of kit. I guess you can, if you've got the cable on the mic, you can just stick the thing on the
absolutely.
Your pocket, and then you just got a mic, and then it doesn't matter what.
So they need
like
a mic with a button that you can press record. That's what they need. So
that would be the killer
feature. That would be
nice. Yeah.
But really, for the first people to actually come out with a device, and I don't know why it's taken so long for someone to get a grip.
It's Apple.
It's not Apple.
No, it's Apple. This
generation has been able to do 44.1 16K
a
year almost.
There's a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, check it out, extrememac.com.
It's cool. Hey, Sammy, thank you so much.
You got it.
Next up here, we're going to have Oliver Breidenbach from Boink Software here live in San Francisco. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Show. This part of the Inside Mac Radio Show is brought to you by FirmTech, the coolest place to get external SATA storage for your Mac. They have the Express 34 slot for the MacBook Pro. They have the regular slot for the PCMCIA slot for the regular PowerBooks. They have a 2-port PCI Express card, 4-port PCIX card, all kinds of cool stuff. And like we said earlier, you have these trays for an extra $23, I think.
Oh, yeah.
$25.
Yeah.
You put the drive in the tray because this design of these FirmTech enclosures use a backplane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this sled. It's like $23. You put an extra drive in and pop it on. So you can have hard drives sitting on the shelf. So each time they say you're doing a job for a customer, it's their hard drive.
Yeah, just pop it in, pop
or,
it out.
Or, you know, one could be pictures. So when you have 5,000 Photo Magico slideshows and you need like 4 terabytes of storage, you can just have one different types. Here's a flower one. Here's this, like, you know,
yeah,
birds and pets and, you know, food and beer. And then another one for beer and, you know. Yeah.
Another one for beer.
Yeah, so $23. But it's cool. Check them out at FirmTech. That's F-I-R-M-T-E-K, FirmTech.com. Right now we have in studio live from Munich, Germany, Oliver Breidenbach from Boink Software. Hello, Oliver.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you? Congratulations on your award. You won the Apple Mac OS X Best User Experience.
Yeah, that's a great honor to have. And
Yeah.
We won the Apple Design Award for the for Boink's Photo Magico.
Yeah.
And it's actually a quite great honor to have it. And
it is.
It's good. So that's recognition of the work of the great
it means,
work.
It means
of
you're
the
doing
team.
Something right if you win that award. You know, it means that you did all that, those hours of sweating over the details.
The thing is,
off.
You made John Galenzi really happy, and all your stuff was right on the deal. It was to Apple spec, the right pixel width on Windows. It was perfect because to get that kind of deal like you guys got has to be to the book.
Yeah,
and it has to be a good experience. You know, it just can't be graphically correct. The whole workflow has to be right.
Yeah, they're looking for something that really demonstrates what they consider the excellence of design
and the integration of that design in Mac OS X.
Yeah.
And Photo Magico, let's talk about that first. You won the award for it. This is a really cool piece of software that lets you do slideshows, but think of it like iPhoto on steroids.
Yeah, we like to think of it like PowerPoint for photographers, you know.
That's a good way to put it, too. Yeah, see, I love
because,
that part.
Because PowerPoint has its weak points regarding to presenting photos, so.
Basically, I add a bunch of photos, and you guys have, what, 11, 13 different transitions when you're doing the slideshows?
Yeah, but the transitions is not the key point. The key point is that we focus on really using the high resolution of the screen. So if you have the beautiful 13-inch monitors, right, we use every pixel of that, and we use and we do the Ken Burns pan and zoom effect, and you can rotate your pictures, and then we've got of course we've got transitions, but the key point is that the transitions need to, you know, be in the same class of quality than the display. So
if I have a 30-inch cinema display and I'm shooting an 8-megapixel camera like a Canon EOS Mark II,
mm-hmm,
I can use every inch of the 30-inch display.
Yeah. Every
display
pixel.
The photos beautifully, and then the transitions are going to be the same quality as the display and the images that I'm displaying.
Yeah.
All makes this beautiful package.
Yeah, if you got a fade transition, for example, it's going to, you know, keep moving through the pan and zoom while the transitions, and it's really beautiful.
How hard is it to learn to do this, or can I just drag a bunch of photos and do it and say, make this thingy and hit a button, or do I have to be really geeky and drag stuff around and do commands
If you have your stuff in iPhoto, your photos in iPhoto, you can actually just drag and drop them into a thing you call the storyboard.
Yeah.
Where you set the order.
So you have a timeline across the bottom.
It's not a timeline actually. It's sort of a timeline, but because Photo Magico is also interactive, you can use it for live presentations. You can jump forward and backwards while you do the presentation. So it's not a timeline. We call it storyboard because it's, you know, depicts just the sequence of the slides and not the timing.
Now you've actually have a lot of professional photographers use this, and I guess they use this as a demonstration tool for their work when they're going to go out to see a client, if they're going to shoot a wedding, or if they're an event photographer, whatever. They're using Photomagico as a display device for their work, and I guess this probably helps them sell more stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's what we want to achieve. That they have the best possible presentation, and the customers are the slideshow adds a certain boom to the images, right? So it helps you sell your pictures.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Even if you don't want to sell them, they just look better.
Yeah.
Now, what file formats do you support? Do you support everything that iPhoto supports, or does everything have to be exported to like a TIFF or?
I think it's probably a bit too technical, but we can use everything that QuickTime can use. So PDFs, and also a couple of RAW formats, I think, are now supported or will be soon. Anyway,
so you don't have to like duplicate and export to get your stuff into Photomagico, right?
No. If it's in iPhoto, you can use it.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
So RAW file, a CS2 mm-hmm. Canon format, but it's the same as what iPhoto uses. So that's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But except, see, my problem is I have a Sigma camera. And nothing uses
Sigma
format.
Yeah.
No, you just convert it to if you have a camera that's not supported by iPhoto and you mm-hmm. want to use Magic Photo, you would just use the Adobe DNG converter.
Yeah.
That converts it to the digital negative format, and then it'll eat it in iPhoto and then write into Photomagico, and you're happy.
Yeah.
Boom, done. Okay, so where do we find out? Because there's a couple more things. We've got about 5 minutes left here.
Okay.
But I want to move on because you got some other great stuff going on. So let's talk mm-hmm. Photomagico. You guys have a demo and stuff. I can download this at
Photomagico.com, Photomagico.com, that's, yeah.
Yep, and then this is how much is it in cost?
If you buy it online, it's $79.
Oh, yeah, very economically priced, too.
Yeah,
it's a great deal.
To celebrate the Apple Design Award, we also, if you go now and purchase it from Kagi, you can enter a coupon code called HOORAY, HOORAY, and get $10 discount.
Cool. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
They're buying everybody a beer.
Exclusive, yes. Exclusive. You heard it first here.
A couple liters for free.
Yeah.
Excellent. You got to love that. So that's cool. Now, you also make a very cool program that I saw a lot of people using at WWDC, the presenters. A lot of people mm-hmm, use this mm-hmm. stuff called Mousepose.
Mousepose, yeah.
Tell us about that.
We just released version 2, and we really focus on the presenter. So it's a tool for presenters. It helps you highlight stuff on the screen. It does so by drawing a circle around the mouse pointer and blacking out or graying out all the rest of the screen. The version 2 adds a nice start stop transition, so it doesn't suddenly turn on and off, but has this focus it's like a tunnel, right? Mm-hmm. If you drive into a tunnel, and also we visualize mouse clicks. So when you press a mouse button, there's a red circle drawn around the mouse. So audience can follow.
It shows you the interactive that he's actually clicking on.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of presenters at WWDC here using just that software.
Ah, cool.
So it's actually it's well used by the pros.
Yeah. Yes. Also, the version 2 has a very interesting feature. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Talkthrough. We've integrated Apple speech technology and the Apple script and built it so that Photomagico actually, if you download it and start this Talkthrough thing, it actually explains itself to you. So it gives you a nice tour of what it's doing and where you can set all the options.
So you don't have to read anything. You can just sit there and listen. And it'll just tell you how to use it. That's great.
Yeah. To get it, go to bunks.com/mousepose. Download it. The store is built right in, so you just hit the purchase now button.
Now I don't think we've mentioned even your other software. Cause you have many packages. You have mm-hmm. also IV Scene.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's a program that we originally wrote because when the iSight came out first, there was no recording tool, so we thought we might want to have a very easy video recording software for the iSight, and with the video podcasting movement, it's still pretty much alive.
Yeah.
I love that software.
Yeah,
it's
really
great.
It's really cool. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Because you don't work with any DV input. any camera.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just have to use an eyesight. You can use anything.
No, it's cool. Cool, cool stuff there. So, Oliver, we have about 45 seconds here. Where can we find out more information about your Apple Design Award, Photomagical, you know, Mouse Pose, IV Scene? We didn't even talk about iStop Motion, though. That lets you make, little...
Well,
you can use, like, clay animation. Animations,
yeah. And you go to our website.
Like Mr. Bill.
Which is, the website is bunks.com, and you go there, and there's everything for you.
Cool. We'll try to squeeze you in here later on in the show here. Oliver's hanging out with us, and he's live in studio. And, hey, congratulations again on your award.
Thanks.
Very well deserved and hard to get and very cool. Great stuff there. We love your stuff. So thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. Oliver Breidenbach from Boink Software. Check him out at Boinks. That's BOINX.com.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac
with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our partners over at Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the leaders in digital photography, imaging, you name it. Check them out at popphoto.com. Right now, Sam, we have some very cool guests with us here.
The guys from Offenburg, Germany, with Showmaster and Ubercaster?
Yes.
So what's the name of the company?
The company is named Pleasant Software for the People.
Okay, Pleasant Software for the People. It's kind of a long name, but when you guys see this software, well, first of all, they came out with Showmaster, and basically Showmaster has the features that they were showing, some of the features that you're going to be getting on with Leopard, Showmaster does right now, like delivering streamed QuickTime video from your Mac. They can do it right now. You can take a screenshot of anything that's on your Mac. Showmaster displays it, so when you're on iChat to iChat video with another person, it displays it. Showmaster also does sketch. It's got a sketch pad, so you can draw on it, and the other person on the other end sees it. It's kind of like a WebEx client, Scott, if you will.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like WebEx, except it's completely Mac OS, built ground floor up for the Mac, and it's built into iChat, so you don't see anything until you open iChat, and you can click on a little bottom button, and that turns, slides a little drawer open, correct?
Yes.
So you guys have made an added-on summary to the user interface into iChat.
Yes, we use the drawer to extend the actual interface in iChat. So, it integrates really nice.
Very nice. I mean, it looks very cool. Now, you can put any type of image, movie, file, whatever you want to put in it. It'll play anything?
Yeah, more or less all formats are supported from QuickTime.
So PDF even?
Yes.
Whatever.
The problem with PDFs usually are that the resolution of iChat sending the video stream over the net is very low. So if you have very small text in PDFs or in pictures you send...
Hard to see, yeah.
Yeah, they're hard to see.
Showmaster is, for long-distance learning, I think it's absolutely spot on. For education, I think it's absolutely the perfect tool. Now, of course, it extends to people that just want to share content, talk to each other simply. It's a great product. It's about $20, $21, something like that.
Yeah.
$21, and it's worth every penny. And you can do what you've been waiting for in Leopard. You can do that today. Of course, there's a few things that they're going to incorporate and use from Leopard, hopefully.
We'll be planning to do a Leopard version that usually will be much more stable because of the defined API we got with Leopard. So I think the quality of the picture might be a little bit better than now, but we will also continue to support Tiger and Panda as OS for
So that's the other advantage. It works with the other OSs. Now, their new app called Ubercaster, It is wicked cool. It's basically GarageBand 3 for the masses. So you can use this for the ultimate podcast audio right now.
Yeah, so let's haul them over there because we don't want to tell them too much.
Yeah, we gotta talk when we come back from the break.
We are. So here you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program, and we are here talking about Pleasant software. We're talking about Showmaster, and coming up after the break, we're going to talk about Ubercaster. That is a very cool application to do specifically made for podcasting.
Yes.
So you don't need to be a geek. You don't have to pull up Pro Tools and do, you know, the crazy stuff, buy a bunch of crazy hardware. You don't have to worry about musical stuff like you would in GarageBand. You can just do this thing. It's made for doing voice audio podcasting.
Audio podcast.
So it's
right
pretty
now,
cool stuff. Audio. You can add some tunes to it. You can make a nice little podcast.
It's sweet.
So after the break here, at the top of the hour, we're going to come back. Like I said, we're here with the guys from Pleasant Software. They're in town here from Germany.
From
so.
Offenburg.
Beautiful stuff. They must have good beer there too, huh?
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah, well, hey, we're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Mac, and we have a super great show lined up for everybody today. A ton of guests here in live from the Worldwide Developers Conference. We've been talking about some cool stuff. And the sponsors of the Inside Mac radio show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, Firmtech, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac radio program at www.insidemacradio.com. So, Sammy, we're back here with our friends here from Pleasant Software.
Pleasant Software for the people.
We want to talk about Ubercaster.
Ubercaster is a new app. It's still in beta, late beta, for voice podcasting, audio only. But it's a simple utility. And, of course, it works with Tiger. It's universal. It's Intel native. And it's a fantastic application from what I can see. It's think of GarageBand, but simpler. Because it just is. Graphically, you can do drag and drop stuff. But instead of me talking about it, why don't we have the guys from Pleasant Software talk about it?
Thanks. You know, ever since Cast Blaster has been brought out for Windows, there has been a huge demand for Cast Blaster for the Mac. You can do live recording, and Ubercaster takes this some steps further. We have a cut layer in Ubercaster, where you can post edit your show and release it. You can encode your show in different formats at once. And
when they say release, they mean I think it means to send it, export it, save it, send it, export it out.
That's right.
Release. I think that's the techie term. I was talking to Eberhard about that. And I said, what does release mean? That's minor. One of the cool features about this Ubercaster.
It's got a great UI. It's beautiful.
It's really clean. What's really neat, and I know this doesn't sound great to some people out there, unless you're doing a podcast, and you want to update your podcast and send it to whatever it might be, a feed. Well, for instance, how do you do that? Well, they have solved that. They've got a built-in, I don't know what you call it. You can explain that it's automatically sends the feed to whatever it needs to go to, so people can now, once they subscribe to your podcast, it's seamless.
Yeah, you can set up templates in the program. So if you once did a show, you can open it again as a template and do the other shows with this template. So you have to only set up this once and use it multiple times. So it's not much work to do a podcast with this program. It's really a nice workflow, especially made for podcasters. So it's not some audio software with some plugins or
right.
Something. So it's really made for the needs of the podcasters.
Actually, you could do it with your MacBook Pro because of the built-in mic. I carry a USB mic, and you plug in. You can save it to whatever feed
you know, they showed me PodShows feed that they've got, so you can upload it. What about iTunes?
You have to do the feed, the RSS feed is not included in the program so far. We will do right. that maybe in the future, but we will support the PodShow API, so you can upload directly to PodShow network and also edit the feed stuff in the PodShow directly from Übercaster. You can upload via FTP. And right. some other stuff you can upload to .Mac.
That's fantastic. Included.
Where do you get more information on your guys' great software, Ubercaster, all the stuff going
Showmaster,
on?
Yeah. What's the website?
The website is www.pleasantsoftware.com. It's the central
PleasantSoftware.com. How about Showmaster.com? Will that
yeah, you
Showmaster
can
as well.
To Showmaster.com or Ubercaster.com.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for
glad you're
us
enjoying
here.
San Francisco, and take care. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool stuff. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to Online Tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by our media partners, American Photo Magazine. American Photo at popphoto.com. The cool resource for the higher-end professional photographer. Everything you need to know about the art and the science
and the love.
The love of photography. Cool stuff there. Right now, we're joined by David Topper. He is the host of the Napa Valley Wine Radio and the owner of Goose Cross Winery. Hello, David. How are you?
Hello. Very good. Thanks. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you own a winery in beautiful Napa.
We're in Yountville.
Yountville. Okay.
Just a little north of the city
yes,
of Napa.
Right.
Beautiful That's country.
Good dining out there, too. So you have a winery.
Yes.
Goose Cross Winery.
There are two of us.
Yes.
I own it.
Okay.
Myself and my business partner, Jeff Gorsuch.
You guys started a podcast, or you did, called Napa Valley Wine Radio.
That's correct.
Why? Why would you do such a thing?
Well, I guess the first was whenever I get a little bit bored, I have to stir up a little bit of trouble. So that was the direction.
Okay.
David, we like you better already.
So, you know, outside of that, I guess the correct answer would be that we're looking for the next generation of marketing for wines. And in doing so, we have to look to the next generations that are coming up in the purchasing of wines and are showing interest in wines. And we take a look at how they communicate and the mediums that they choose to use to communicate. And podcasting seemed to be one of the next levels to move to.
What are you saying? Us baby boomers are not enough to really sustain the velocity in sales?
Oh, hell no. We're getting ready to retire.
Yeah. What do you think is your target demographic that you're trying to reach in podcasting? Is podcasting more like a Generation X audience that you're trying to hit?
That's
a great question.
Maybe Z? I don't know.
and to be honest, I'm wrestling with that myself, because every time I think what I'm doing is I'm really going to the millennials, I get a baby boomer who calls me up to congratulate me on our podcast.
Yeah, actually, that is one of the things about podcasting. It does quite a bit cut across demographics. It's not just, you know, the cutting edge type of folks.
I'm always amazed. And even more so, I was amazed at how many people were picking up the podcast on their cellular phones by using some tools that we have embedded in the in our podcast. But, you know, our real target market was to go after the millennials, and one of the things that came up was that our distributor sales representatives that are out in the field that will be moving our wines to restaurants or retailers are using our podcast as a training method for their staff. So that hits right across the range from millennial, Generation X, Y, and baby boomers.
The focus, the former advert, the traditional advertising focus of your product and the region as a whole in cultivating new wine purchasing habits in Generation Y and Generation X wasn't necessarily going to deliver for you, though. Ads in magazines and terrestrial radio wasn't necessarily the primary focus of the people you're trying to bring into the love.
Well, interestingly enough, let me just back up just a little bit, and that is the vast majority of our wines. We sell 9,000 cases a year. Approximately 98, 99% of that is sold directly from the winery to the consumer. What we found is that those people that were consuming our wines would come back for more, but I could advertise all day long in any magazine, television, radio, and if they had never tasted our wine, heard of our wine, or referred to our wine, they were not going to take the risk of buying a bottle. One of the things I found is that if I educated people about the wines through these podcasts, they were willing to give it a try. Yes, we can present the brand, but even more so, we were establishing a personality behind the brand, and we were also bringing to it some relationship along with us to that consumer.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing you just touch on is actually putting a personality behind the brand, because you walk into Beverages and More or Trader Joe's, and there's 6,000 bottles of wine that all look the same. And unless you know, guess what? It's all the same. But if I'm listening to something and this thing clicks in my head, this goose deal, or there's a personality, or if you want to get into the wine deal, because, you know, what if you want to go on a date and, you know, what wine do you pick?
Yeah, you don't want to feel like a complete idiot. Like,
right,
you know,
so I'm
just
listening to
that one.
Yeah, it's tough enough to take a risk with a bottle of wine, so you tend to gravitate to things you've heard of or referred to or tasted before. And by putting some personality behind it, people are getting to know us. They get to know our strategy, our style, our goals. We build a level of trust through the education that we provide, and it's actually helped us increase our sales.
Yeah, I would imagine you would say, David, that in focusing on the podcasting, it's also, again, going to the audience, getting in front of the audience that you're trying to create and cultivate, as opposed to tons of reviews and Wine Spectator and other trades. A 27-year-old is more likely to reach out to a podcast, and in doing so, you get a chance to actually speak with them and build a more one-on-one relationship with them.
Yes, I was finding that the traditional forms of advertising was not reaching out to those folks. They don't tend to trust it very much, from my experience. They tend to trust their peer group, and I think that is why blogs have grown as quickly as they have. There's a level of communication from peer to peer about their direct experience with a product and a brand, and once again, a blog brings personality and style to that communication. I think a podcast is similar in nature, and they both supplement each other.
Comparing your advertising efforts that you've seen done by major advertising houses and even in the local owner and coming up with creative for advertising, do you find that that you're able to put any of that kind of nuance or romance into a podcast, or do you really just try and make it like a fireside chat and one-on-one and totally honest?
Actually, I think you could take it in any direction you wish. I don't think that there's any rule for a podcast. I think that's one of the beauties of it, is that everyone's got their own method of presenting themselves. It's as individual as, you know, when you meet somebody on the street and you begin to communicate with them, they're going to communicate to you in their style, not in a pre-prescribed method of statement. And I think a podcast offers that same beauty, is that the personality of the brand and the people behind it can come through in that communication.
So walk us through a typical one of your shows. I mean, what kind of topics do you actually cover in this podcast?
We cover a wide range. It's anywhere from introducing folks to industry people such as B&B owners and what it was like to own and operate a B&B, and some tips and tricks to working with those B&Bs, what's the difference, why would you book one over the other?
Oh, could you clarify, you're saying business, B&B is a business-to-business, or what's a B&B?
A bed and breakfast.
Oh, bed and breakfast.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have to remember that I'm on a technology show here.
Sorry, keep going.
No, a B&B, a bed and breakfast. So when you come in to visit in the Valley, why would you stay at a bed and breakfast versus staying at a motel or a hotel? What different services do they offer? We brought some anecdotes from some of the B&B owners into the podcast to talk about some of the funny things that have occurred over the years of their ownership.
Based on that, is it safe to say that your efforts in Napa Valley Wine Radio aren't just to promote Goose Cross the winery, but also the region as a whole and a destination?
Oh, absolutely. It's it's a whole experience. To me, personally, wine as a standalone product is somewhat boring. When you add family, friends, conversation, location, nature, you have something much larger than life. It becomes a part of life. So to talk about wine and wine alone and to continue talking about how wine is made, it begins to get a little dry. You're focusing on a product, and I think it's far more important for us to focus on wine as a lifestyle and as a part of life itself.
We got about 30 seconds. How do people find out about your podcast, the winery, what you're up to? And I know you're doing this stuff on the Mac, so they want to go listen to it just because it's done on a Mac.
I didn't know that there was anything other than a Mac.
There you go. See, you got it already, brother. You're on it. Where do we find out more information about the great radio program and your guys' cool taste in wine?
Well, they can visit us at goosecross.com, or they can visit us at NapaValleyWineRadio.com. Take your pick.
Very cool. Thank you so much, David. We want to have you back, talk about this some more. Really appreciate it. There you go, David Topper. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals. You need all the cool tips and tricks about Photoshop, InDesign, Go Live, you name it, Dreamweaver. Check them out at creativepro.com. Right now we're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily Radio News Program. Hello, Dina.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brad.
You? Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's getting hot in San Jose again, which is not so good. But other than that, it's great.
It's hot here in San Francisco, too. I mean, we were out walking around last night, and it's hot out here as well. So
that's not a good
which
sign.
Which is rare, yeah. You know, because this is a place where you go when you got to cool off and, you know, head to the north, head to San Francisco and get the nice fog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this week was Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference and the keynote presentation by Steve Jobs. Well, he delivered exactly what pretty much everybody was expecting, which was Leopard. He went over and showed everybody what Leopard does, and he introduced the Mac Pro, which is said to be the fastest desktop computer on the planet, which is pretty amazing.
It's a pretty impressive statement,
yeah,
that's for sure.
And Xserve was also announced. Apple said that it's five times faster than the Xserve G5, and it also is the most customizable server, offering dozens of options, including faster processors, larger hard drives, and dual power supplies. They also introduced Time Machine. It's the new autosave feature that makes backup easy and effective for Mac users by automatically backing up everything on the Mac to an external hard drive or Mac OS X server. It can search back using a time-based visual display to find and then instantly restore the file easily. In fact, Steve Jobs said that only 26% of people back up files. I don't.
Oh, so you're part of the mean 74%.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know it's going to catch me, but this will make it a lot easier. American technology research analysts are saying that the new Mac Pro is a good value. It compares favorably to Apple's previous $3,299 price point for a PowerPC G5-based quad-core Mac. The analysts are anticipating the product to sell very well in its key markets, including professional film, audio, science, and technical computing, as well as their high-end consumers who've been waiting for a high-end Intel Mac. Analyst Sha Wu said, "We estimate this lucrative segment will make up to 15 to 20% of its Mac business." So a lot of good stuff coming out of the WWDC this week, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was very good. I thought what was interesting, most thing about the keynote, and if you got a chance to download the whole thing, or if you watched on Inside Mac, was the organization. The Power Macs kind of came out first.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so rare that the new product, I mean, that was like they put what everybody was waiting for at the front of the keynote instead of the back, which they usually go, and there's one more thing,
right?
You know, and so interesting. So very different, yeah.
I have comments about the keynote myself, but I don't know if I even want to go there.
Uh-oh. Oh, you want to go there.
Come
yes,
on.
You do. Come on, go there.
Bring it.
It was a good keynote. Dina, thanks. Yes. And you're going to be back here after the break.
Yeah,
we got more to talk
things.
About. We have cool stuff. Hey, we'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit agfa.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to get the coolest updates for your Macintosh. You want to keep your software up to date, happy, healthy, fit. Great place to get it. Not a lot of ads in your face. Not 16 pages to click through to get that download over at. Check it out, www.macupdate.com. That's MacUpdate.com. We're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Radio Daily News Program. We've been talking about the Steve Note live from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference at Moscone West here in beautiful San Francisco on Monday. Brand new Mac Pros, preview of Leopard.
Yeah.
What else, Dina, is happening in the world of Mac?
Well, in the world of Mac, Columbia Records and Apple announced that Bob Dylan's new album, Modern Times, will be offered as an exclusive pre-order on iTunes. This deal gives iTunes customers who have pre-ordered the album opportunity to participate in an exclusive Ticketmaster pre-sale for concert tickets to select dates on Bob Dylan's upcoming fall tour. Apple has also created an exclusive Dylan digital box set called The Collection that includes all of Dylan's albums with nearly 800 tracks that will be available exclusively from iTunes later this month. These 800 tracks actually span his career, so there's a lot of cool stuff for Dylan fans.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes has added another network to their TV, and they are now over 200 TV shows strong. The most recent networks to join iTunes are A&E, the Biography Channel, and the History Channel. Shows like Driving Force, Inked, that popular scary tattoo thing that I would never watch.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You want a tattoo. Everybody wants a tattoo.
Yeah, just cover your whole body with wallpaper is what it's like. You know,
Have you ever seen it? I've never seen it. I don't think I want to. I've seen the promos for it, but I don't think that's something that I would enjoy watching.
There's a reality show for everything.
Yeah.
I've seen the other. There's another tattoo show that was on HBO or something that was really good. It was these guys running a tattoo gig out of like the Mandalay Bay.
There's
some really nice artwork that people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some beautiful.
They're very talented. Yeah,
it's just, you know, if that wants to be your decision on if you want to mark your stuff up.
Yeah, I just think it's like they're running out of things to come up with for reality shows.
It's actually very popular, though. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, yeah.
Talk about popular shows. Yeah. Have you guys seen Deadwood on HBO?
Is it on iTunes yet?
No, it's not. That's what I was going to complain about, because she's talking about iTunes. There's no Deadwoods. We'll leave that for later.
Well, I want Looney Tunes on now. It was first Metallica. Now I'm looking
for
Bugs Bunny.
Well, have you seen the podcast of the Cartoon Federation thing? It's all the cartoons that have gone into public domain.
Oh, you should give Channel Federator.
Yeah, you need to get that.
That's very cool.
Dude, it's got original Looney Tunes stuff back from the 40s.
The copyrights have expired on those. Yeah.
Ooh. You know what's amazing? You start watching those old cartoons is how racist they are. It really is. It's amazing.
You know, attitudes and what was acceptable then isn't acceptable now. And so, you do see there's some
really good examples of fine animation. Because, you know, I really think cartoons now don't have the animation quality.
Oh, no.
Of like the old, even the Roadrunner and the Coyote deal, or none of that cool stuff.
Yeah, you know? Well, that was, you know, that's very interesting because one of the things that John Lasseter's been trying to do now that he's been brought over to Disney is he has started a new movie that's 2D hand-drawn animation.
Cool.
You know, he's very aware of the art and what are the limitations of
it's
the
an
art.
Art, you know, and that's the thing is all the cartoons that are on TV now are 2D computer-drawn El Crapola, okay? And it's not the same art. It's not like the old drunk, blazing red nose, cartoon animating guys that were just like drinking like crazy.
Gag, yeah.
You know, big old Carl Malden, blazing red nose, and they're drawing cartoons that were off color and just crazy stuff that was just beautiful. It was cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's not that way anymore.
It's definitely, you're right.
And they're not as fun to watch. They're not funny. They're not creative enough for me, I guess.
I don't know.
Well, the Winans actually have a new movie out that kind of copied the Bugs Bunny cartoon. Did you know that?
Yeah, crazy. Hey, Dina, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
There you go. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it feels like to be a hero every day. You can make a difference in the Coast Guard. Search and rescue, saving lives. Your answer in the call. It's a job that matters.
Join the Coast Guard or Coast Guard Reserve. Save lives. Stop drugs. Protect the environment. Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. The Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Imagine what it feels like. You can do it all. Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. The Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. These guys are real ink on paper, offset printers. They'll print anything. You can send them any kind of vinyl, even something scratched on a napkin with a crayon. They'll print it. Check them out, www.printingforless.com. Right now we have in studio live, hanging over from the Worldwide Developers Conference, we have Graham Natras. Hello, Graham. How are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing pretty good.
Tell everybody about Graham. You make a very cool suite of plugins for Final Cut Pro for Silicon Color.
Yeah, for Silicon
Color. And I think
you're
going to do some stuff
well.
Coming up here. You got some stuff going with this new Motion format.
Yeah, I'm working on the effects plugs for Motion, and they're really funky.
Yeah.
The API is really nice that Apple have.
Yeah.
And you can really go in and leverage the GPU stuff. And what I'm figuring out how to do is how to combine sort of my unique code with all the image unit stuff that's in there, and you know, bring them together to get the sort of the best way to write the quickest, fastest plugins on the planet.
And also, besides all this other cool code stuff you do, you're also, we found you hanging out with these cats from Red. You've been hanging out with Ted.
Ted,
Jim Gennard. You actually do work, and you actually are on staff with. With Red.
Consulting for Red, yeah.
Right, so you're on staff, so you're doing some cool stuff with those guys too. So.
And that's really fun. And
do you ever get to sleep?
No, not really. No? They keep me working all hours.
Right, because Ted and Jim's always on the phone, huh?
They're always on the phone. They're always on the email, and it's like, you know, we need some code to do this, and we need it like yesterday, so get hacking code.
You know what's cool, though? They got a fat checkbook.
Well,
it's also some pretty, pretty cool stuff.
I mean, it is the most interesting thing in the industry at the moment.
It is.
To be part of it.
And what to be part of it is so cool. Plus, too, is what's so cool with these guys is it's not an issue with some corporate deal like we can't screw up our supply chain because of
the politics is not there.
There's no politics, and Jim's got the cash to say, dude, I don't care.
And he's got the vision and the drive.
He wants to do it,
and it's because he owns every camera on the planet, and not one of them was good enough for him.
So give us a little background. So let's talk a little bit about the your plugins. Now, your plugins are actually been seen all over television and all over commercials, probably by everybody. They've seen this. What kind of things do your plugins do?
Well, that would be on all day if I listed them all.
Yeah, that's true.
The main products out there, we've got Film Effects, which is a really nice film simulation from video, and it works with PAL video or NTSC video or any of the high def formats if you need to do really high quality deinterlacing or 24p simulation.
What this does, what kind of things this does? So if I'm in Final Cut and I've edited this video in high def, let's say.
Yeah.
Now I want to distribute it to Europe and distribute it to the, North American television market.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of ways you can do that. We've got a standards converter as well, and again, it'll convert from NTSC to PAL or NTSC to 24p. And 24p is great because it's almost like this sort of lingua franca of the world where, you know, everywhere can play films. Everyone has figured out how to make 24p play on their native format. So all you have to do is make a 24p DVD for your NTSC market. You slap that 24p file into Cinema Tools, you say conform, and you say conform it to 25p, and now you've got a PAL DVD ready to go as well. And you can like multi-purpose your video everywhere really well. And the quality is great.
So that's it. So if you're a small independent producer, you've shot a video, and now you want to go distribute it through the world,
yeah.
You just pick up
or even if, or even if you want to make a web movie, because if you start off like with NTSC, that's like 60 fields or 30 frames a second. And obviously, if you turn it to 24 frames a second, that compresses easier for the web because there's less frames per second. Or if you need even more compression, half it again, drop it down to 12 when you do the compression, and you'll get a very good quality web video.
So this is actually a good way for not just repurposing your content for television markets, but also for the
also for the web as well. And the web movies that I put on my website are all done via that method. I sort of make them as 24p, and it helps really well with the compression.
What are some of the other plugins? Now, you have also a film effect.
Yeah, film effect. I mean, you can go over the top of that. You can make something look like dirty, scratched-up old 8mm film, but, you know, you can also... I mean, film has nice qualities. You've got, like, diffusion, and you've got these superb gamma curves. And even just taking practically any video and adding one of these nice gamma curves on just warms things up. It does like a really subtle but nice crush on the blacks, expansion on the highlights, very nice contrast effect, and it just like it's like a beauty effect on practically anything you can shove it on.
What about delivery, Graham? If you're gonna shoot video content for an iPod, does it really matter once you step on this thing with either H.264 and MPEG-4? Can you still see the effects of these plugins?
Oh yeah,
even when it's down encoded iPod?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're using like the standards converter to go down to 24p,
right?
That motion is you're gonna see that on the iPod, and you're gonna get slightly better quality because you've got less frames per second to compress.
Sure.
And then if you're doing any of the gamma curves and everything like that, because that's affecting the overall look of the image, you're gonna see that coming through on any distribution method.
So if you're even if you're shooting at standard def,
even
25 megabit DV,
oh yeah,
at 30 frames, 29.97 should always convert to 24.
It's not a should always do. It's a stylistic choice as well as a thing. But I think it's a pretty good trade off in terms of
well, you're gonna drop 4 or 5 frames a second, so you're gonna pick up a 5 or 6 or 8% encoding right there,
yeah,
right off the top
exactly,
of the file size.
Exactly.
But then you're really not going to see this really super noticeable, but it's going to look more like if you're watching a film.
A movie. It's going to look more movie-like.
Right.
Yeah.
It also gives you the smooth motion across because you're actually doing, you're actually interpolating the motion across
the
frames.
That's right. I mean, practically the worst thing you can do is not do anything with the fields and not deinterlace, and then you get this like comb effect crap,
yeah,
which, I mean, just looks awful. And you see that all over the place when people don't know what they're doing with compression and they leave it in there and it just looks nasty. So that's like the worst thing you can do is obviously do nothing.
If you've been watching television out there, where are some of the places
you've
seen your...
Yeah, you've seen it everywhere. I mean, last year the Fox Baseball coverage, all the little inserts that were done, they were all done with film effects. And in fact, their editor emailed me and said, look, I love your stuff. Can I have a specific, unique effect for us? I said, yeah. Now, they're shooting everything on the Varicam, so they're not normally doing, you know, they're shooting at 60p. So I wrote a special version of film effects that did 24p from 60p and also 12 and 10 and other frames as well. So we had this variety of looks they could throw in there. And then in England, Peter Wiggins did the BBC Snooker, all the inserts for that. And they were all done in film effects. They were all shot on DigiBeta. The end results look really, really filmic. So, you know, whether it's PAL or NTSC, whether it's high def or standard def, it can really help you out.
With your plugin stuff, do you need to get the standards conversion if I want to go from 29.97 to 24p?
Yeah.
Or if I go 60i to 24p, I need the standard conversions and the film effects plugin?
I use them both together because the film effects does a 24p look, but it leaves the end result in a standard 60i timeline. So if you want to go back out to tape, that's really easy because the conversion, it's done the look, but it hasn't actually converted the frame rate. But if you're going to the web or make a 24p DVD, the standards conversion product is the best for that. And if anyone is not sure about which one's the best thing to do is just email me at graham@natras.com, and I do it every day. I help everyone out. If you've got a problem, I'll sort you out.
Right, because what we need to do is we'll start trying this with our Inside Mac TV stuff. You know, if you can pull a few frames out, man, every
I mean, with the amount
is,
of downloads you have, any saving in bandwidth without sacrificing quality has got to be worth it, eh?
Yeah, it's worth a try. Totally.
Oh, I mean, that's money. I mean, that's money, effectively. Every byte that's downloaded
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and it does look better when it's filmic, like you said, because a lot of times, you know, most of everything we do is on 60i, except Brad's done some high-def stuff, some HDV.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's 60i.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks 60i. It looks like a soap opera.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks like something on Days of Our Lives.
If you stick
not
a nice gamma curve on it, and,
yeah.
And then you do the 24p conversion, that could be a really nice look for you.
Right, because we try to leave the cameras that we're using mainly all Panasonic gear.
Yeah, yeah.
And leave the gamma curves and the Cine stuff in the camera stock default.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can warm it up in the camera and tweak stuff.
Yeah, I think
it's
better
done
in post.
So do I. That's why
the
I like
only
to leave
thing
it
that I'd want to do in camera is just tweak the settings to record the maximum dynamic range.
Right.
Now, sometimes that can make things look a little bit flat. And again, that's where the gamma curves can really come in post to make that look good.
Let's talk about, I don't know how many of our listeners are actually using Final Touch. But
all three of them.
Yeah,
there's one
right
of them out there.
No, there's quite a few people out there using it, but it's, you know, it's very high-end product, but it's very powerful. And again, it's all GPU-based, so if stuff works on it, it works on it really
okay,
fast.
Okay, GPU, let's talk about that, because we hit on it real quick, graphic cards, okay?
Yeah.
You want to run a couple 30 in Cinema Displays, you need the Quattro FX4500.
You need the big boy, yeah.
How is that card compared to the other cards that is in Apple's current lineup? From what you've seen with doing these plugins, this GPU-based stuff, you're working on other gigs.
I think the top-end NVIDIA card is more suited to CAD work. It is very slightly better for the pixel shaders, but it's not as amazingly better as it is for other things.
But it is better.
Slightly.
But
it's
not worth
the money you pay for it. On one of my machines, I have the X800, the ATI card. And for the pixel shader stuff, it's almost as good. And there's also a different balance in terms of what bit depths they support and at what frame rates. So I think you get better floating point performance on the ATI than you do the NVIDIA. So there's trade-offs and pros and cons there. There's not one clear dunk as this is the best card for sort of image processing use.
Right. Very interesting. We're coming to a break. Stay tuned here with Graham Mattress. We're talking about all kinds of cool stuff for Final Cut Pro, movie making, video, and I want to get your opinion real quick when we come back about the Mac Pro. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz. You can check it out Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We're here with Graham Mattress. Also join us back in the studio is Oliver Breidenbach from Boinks. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. So we were talking, and I'll get both your guys' comments since you're standing here. Me and Brad, we're going to tear it apart. We got more videos to post, and we're going to dissect Mac Pro forever. What do you guys think? You got a Mac Pro, you're doing a lot of stuff with image manipulation, with digital photo slideshows, and you're doing really high-end movie production plugins.
Image processing
stuff, and all the stuff's being pushed off now, like you said, to the GPU.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your guys' thoughts on the Mac Pro compared to the G5 Quad? Is it a big monster deal? Is it something that someone needs to run out and buy tomorrow? Or just because it's cool, you want to get it anyway?
Oh, I mean, it's cool. I want to get one anyway. I know my developer discount will be spent on this year. But,
right.
But the graphics cards aren't any better than what we've got already, so my GPU-based stuff isn't going to run any faster.
Right.
It might be, you know, a bit better memory bandwidth or something like that, but it's not a big improvement. What I think they have got right is some of the ergonomics. I love the way the drive bays work. I love the way you can slot the memory out. And I was telling Brad earlier, I used to work at a university, being a tech in a lab with Macs, and the amount of scraped knuckles I have from working on horrible Macs with, like, tin foil all over the place, and it'd scrape your hand off on the quadras when you're trying to get chips in. To have it done that easy is, like, I think every Mac tech who runs a lab out there is going to be going, yay, that's a good feature. And same with the drives. I mean, that's great. And I've been reading people have been using the drive bay for the other optical drive to stick another SATA drive in there and raiding the other four. So you've got one boot drive and four in a raid as well, and seeing what performance they get on that.
That's cool.
The internal flexibility is pretty good.
Oliver.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think now you start to get to see why Intel was so excited about getting Apple on board, because there's a Xeon in this desktop machine. Holy cow. I mean, it's like,
we would never think this would happen in 1,000 years. It's like, mutiny.
Yeah.
Who's going to walk the plank on this one,
Yeah, I don't know what the current situation on the PC side is, but as far as I remember, the Xeons never made it into mainstream desktop machines, right?
No. A specialist?
Not until now.
Not until, yeah.
Well, this is actually a very new chip from Intel. So this chip was just a new version of the Xeon that just came out. So this is available in other systems at the same time. So just to clarify, but they did a price comparison in the keynote.
With the Dell, wasn't it?
With the Dell, and it looked like it compared very favorably.
Yeah.
So what else we got going on?
We got about a minute and a half left.
To wrap it up. How
you
do we
guys
get...
all having fun at WWDC?
Yeah, it's a good laugh. The food's crap, but the rest is great.
The food is the worst thing they have. And also, I think they should move it even further back out of the holiday season so that it's more affordable to get here from Europe, because I think the hotel, right? We had the same hotel in January for $90 a night. Now it's $145. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Flights, from Europe up about 70% or whatever. They should move it even further into the fall.
And starting then, lectures at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's like being back at school.
Yeah, it's
true. I mean, they're not programmers working the night, the night owls. They're not daytime people.
Hey, guys, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. There we go. Graham Natras, you can check him out at natras.com. We have Oliver from Boinks. You can check it out at boinks.com. And our other guests today, we had Philip Hodges, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin, the guys from Pleasant Software, all kinds of cool stuff. Dean Orlando and the sponsors of the Inside Mac Show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, FirmTech, and our media partners of Pop Photo, American Photo, Creator Pro, Layers Magazine, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac Radio program at www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be back next week with more cool coverage of this year's Worldwide Developer Conference, more videos up on iTunes, and stay tuned for more cool stuff about your Mac.